ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Shukadeva Goswami said, My dear King, Lord Vishnu, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, appeared as Vamanadeva in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. Then he extended his left foot to the end of the universe and pierced a hole in its covering with the nail of his big toe. Through the hole, the pure water of the causal ocean entered this universe as the Ganges River. Having washed the lotus feet of the Lord, which are covered with reddish powder, the water of the Ganges acquired a very beautiful pink color. Every living being can immediately purify his mind of material contamination by touching the transcendental water of the Ganges. Yet its waters remain ever pure because the Ganges directly touches the lotus feet of the Lord before descending within this universe. She is known as Vishnupadi. Later she received other names like Janavi and Bhagirathi. After 1,000 millenniums, the water of the Ganges descended on Dhruva Loka, the topmost planet in this universe. Therefore, all learned sages and scholars proclaim Dhruva Loka to be Vishnupad, situated on Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, Shukadeva Goswami describes the glories of the Ganges River. The water of the Ganges is called Patita Pavani, the deliverer of all sinful living beings. It is a proven fact that a person who regularly bathes in the Ganges is purified both externally and internally. Externally, his body becomes immune to all kinds of disease, and internally, he gradually develops a devotional attitude toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Throughout India, many thousands of people live on the banks of the Ganges, and by regularly bathing in her waters, they are undoubtedly being purified, both spiritually and materially. Many sages, including Shankaracharya, have composed prayers in praise of the Ganges, and the land of India itself has become glorious because such rivers as the Ganges, Yamuna, Godavari, Kaveri, Krishna, and Narmada flow there. Anyone living on the land adjacent to these rivers is naturally advanced in spiritual consciousness. Srila Madhvacharya says, Varahe Vama Padam Tu Tad Anyeshu Tu Dakshinam Padam Kalpeshu Bhagavan Ujahara Trivikrama. Standing on his right foot and extending his left to the edge of the universe, Lord Vamanadeva became known as Trivikram, the incarnation who performed three heroic deeds. Today, we are beginning Canto 5 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 17, entitled The Descent of the River Ganges. Shukadev Goswami is herein praising the spiritual purity of Ganga Devi. Her origin is discussed in various Puranas. The glorification of Ganga is unlimited. In the Padma Purana, Srila Vyasadeva, he has written that even if the great sages and saints, scientists, can count every grain of dust on the earth planet, no one could possibly calculate the glories of Ganga Devi. The Brahma Vaivartha Purana explains how Ganga Devi is eternally existing in Goloka Vrindavan, in the form of a gopi. Brahma Vaivartha Purana tells another story of how on Kartik Purnima in Goloka Vrindavan, there was a festival glorifying Srimati Radharani. Krishna was personally worshipping Srimati Radharani. And many great personalities were given access to that celebration. The goddess Saraswati sang such beautiful hymns in praise of Sri Radha. And Lord Brahma was so pleased that he gave her a necklace. And Lord Shiva gave her a beautiful jewel. It was at that time that the various great personalities encouraged Lord Shiva to sing. But he felt shy. But Lord Brahma personally induced him to begin singing. Now when Lord Shiva performs Sankirtan, this is something extraordinary. His Sankirtan is so much potency. It is said that even in the Brahma Jyoti, when the Jivatmas are in a very neutral state, because they're not tasting the sweetness of the nectar of Bhakti Ras, oftentimes they have to come back to this world. They fall from the Brahma Jyoti to seek out the inner nature of the soul, which is dynamic and active love. But when Lord Shiva performs Nam Sankirtan with his devotees through Brahma Jyoti, those who hear his Sankirtan, sometimes their love for Krishna awakens and they go back to Goloka or Vaikuntha. That is the power of Lord Shiva's singing. So on this particular day of Kartik Purnima, Lord Shiva was singing so beautifully the glories and the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And at that time, demigods and sages were invited to come. Hearing Lord Shiva's voice, everyone there fell unconscious. When they woke up, they saw the entire Ras Mandala was flooded with water. And Radha Shyam Sundar were gone. They were crying out, "Where are they? Where are they? Where have you gone?" And Lord Brahma, he explained, he understood exactly what had taken place. That Lord Shiva's singing was so sweet that Radha Gopinath's bodies transformed into this water, which was from then on to be known as the Ganga. But still, everyone prayed to Krishna and Sri Radha to appear. And there was a voice from the sky that spoke, "If Lord Shiva composes beautiful prayers to be included within the Tantra Shastras, then we will appear." So he made his vow, and Radha Gopinath appeared. There's another story in the Garga Samhita, which explains how at the beginning of creation, one of the first sons of Lord Brahma was Narada Muni. Now, Narada Muni was told by his father to get married, be a Prajapati, and help him procreate. But he had no interest in this. He said, "I only want to sing the glories of the Lord. Nothing else, dear father. I only want to sing the glories of the Lord." So Lord Brahma said, "All right. Then for one kalpa, you become a Gandharva and sing." So he became a Gandharva for one kalpa. Toward the end of that kalpa, he came to see Lord Brahma. But as a Gandharva, he was always surrounded by the most beautiful ladies. So when he was singing to Lord Brahma, his mind was distracted. And he was singing the ragas with the wrong notations. So Lord Brahma said, "You are not singing ragas properly, become Shudra." So then he became the son of a maidservant. Srimad Bhagavatam tells the story. He was living in the forest with his mother as a maidservant's son, and some Bhaktivedantas, some great devotees came there for the Chaturmasya. And he served them, assisting his mother, he served them very faithfully. He pleased their hearts by his humility, by his very menial spirit of service. And then, with their permission, he took the remnants of their food. After they left, his mother, when going out to milk a cow, she was struck by a serpent and passed away from this world. The little maidservant's son, because of his association with sadhus, he could understand that this was the mercy of Krishna. Even the most difficult situation is seen as an opportunity to advance in spiritual life if we are Krishna conscious. So he searched through cities, towns, villages, into the countryside and into the deep forests, trying to find Krishna. And it was then that at a very secluded place, he sat in meditation, and the Lord appeared within his heart, Darshan. Upon seeing the Lord, the fulfillment of all of his heart's desires had been reached. But then the Lord disappeared. He came out of his meditation, and he went through all the same processes, the same techniques that he did before, again and again and again. But the Lord was not giving his darshan. At this time, his heart was burning in pangs of separation. There was nothing else in the entire creation. Lord Chaitanya explains this experience. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahinam. When we understand Krishna, this entire cosmic manifestation is a dreary void without His beautiful sight. Longing for the Lord spoke to him that in this life you will never see me again. But because the fire of separation will burn so deeply in your heart, at every moment you will be longing for me. You will become completely purified through this process, and in your next birth, you will be my intimate associate. And his next birth, Narada Muni. He was traveling around everywhere. Garga Samhita tells it in this way. He went to one place called Veda Nagar. And there were people who had beautiful faces and lovely ornaments, but their bodies were deformed. Some didn't have legs. Some had twisted hips. Some had hunched backs. Very deformed bodies. Some of them, their bones and their fingers were very strange. So Narada Muni was bewildered. This is a higher planet. He said, how is it? You're all so beautiful in your facial features and you have such luxurious garments and ornaments, but your limbs are deformed. What is the nature of this place? Please tell me. And they said that we are the personified ragas and raginis. And our experience is this, that there's a son of Brahma named Narada. And he sings with great devotion, but he sings the wrong notes of the raga. And he sings the wrong ragas at the wrong times, on the wrong days, in the wrong seasons, without the proper rhythms. And because these ragas, we are the personifications, and all the aspects of the ragas are our limbs, he has done this to our limbs. He said, I am Narada Muni, that's me. Felt very bad. What should I do? What should I do? Says, the foremost authority of these ragas is the goddess Saraswati. So you should learn from her. So Narada Muni went to the top of a mountain and performed austerities. And Saraswati Devi appeared to him. And she taught him so many nice ragas, the exact precise ways of singing and playing. And she also presented to him a veena of the name Devadatta. And after becoming a master at all of these arts, with a heart of pure unalloyed devotion, he began to travel around. Narada Muni Bhajayivi Naradika Ramana Name, playing his veena, chanting the holy names of Sri Radha Raman. They came to Gandharva Loka, and there he took as his student the foremost Gandharva, whose name was Tumburu. And they wanted to play for the best people. They went to Indra Loka and Brahma Loka and Shiva Loka. And ultimately, they crossed the Viraja River, the border between material and spiritual existence, and went to Goloka Vrindavan. That was the power that Krishna had given Narada Muni. And there, he went into the forest of Vrindavan, and gopis asked what was his desire. He said, we want to sing for Radha Govinda Dev. That's our only desire. Our life is singing. We want to offer our poetry and our song to Radha Govinda Dev. The gopis brought Narada and Tumburu in the presence of Radha Govinda. And Narada Muni began to sing. Oh, how sweetly he sang. Garga Samhita explains, when he sang, Krishna's body melted in ecstasy into a river which became the causal ocean, in which all the universes of the material are, the whole cosmic manifestation is floating within the causal ocean. The eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes Lord Vamanadeva. He appeared as the son of Kashyapa and Aditi for the purpose of regaining the property of the demigods. It had all been usurped by Bali Maharaj, the king of the Daityas. Bali Maharaj was in the banks of the Narmada River performing a yajna to please the Brahmins, and this little dwarf Brahmin appeared. And Bali Maharaj, the grandson of Prahlad, son of Virochan, he said, you have come with a begging bowl in hand? You are wanting charity? Please tell me, what is it you wish? So 3 steps of land, that's all. Nothing more, just 3 steps of land. Bali Maharaj, I can give you a palace. I could give you a planet. I could give you anything. Why only 3 steps? Dwarf steps. Vamanadeva replied that if one is satisfied within, what is satisfied with whatever one has or doesn't have. But if one is not satisfied within, one can never be satisfied. It doesn't matter how much one acquires. Happiness is an experience within. So I do not require much. Just give me 3 steps of that. Bali Maharaj said, yes, I will give. But Shukracharya, his guru, was very upset. This is Vishnu. He has come to cheat you. With 2 steps, he will cover the entire universe, and then you will be in big trouble because you won't have anything to give him for your 3 steps, and then you will be punished. I have many Shastra quotations to free you from your promise. Because if you make a promise and it's really, really an emergency situation where you could really lose substantially, then there is a clause. You don't have to keep your promise. If you give what this dwarf asked for, I will curse you to lose everything. Bali Maharaj thought it over very carefully. If this is Vishnu, the whole purpose of life is to satisfy him. And the earth can maintain any burden except the weight of one dishonest liar. He is a Brahmin. And I cannot lie to a Brahmin. And he turned to Vamanadeva and said, you may take your 3 steps. And right before his eyes, this little Vamana expanded in size into Trivikram. So big was his size that his bodily limbs covered all directions, filled the entire sky. With 1 step, he covered the lower regions of the planets to the middle planets. With the next step, he covered the rest of the universe, and the nail of his big toe, according to this verse, pierced the covering of the universe. At which time, the causal ocean, a drop of the causal ocean came in like a river into the universe. And it is described here, after 1,000 celestial years, that causal ocean came to Dhruvaloka. The Ganga was then in the heavenly planets. It is said that when the Ganga flows, In the heavenly planets, it is called Mandakini. When it flows in the middle planets, it is called Bhagirathi. And when it flows in the lower planets, it is called Bhogavati. But at that time, it only flowed in the very upper portions of the heavenly worlds. It did not come to the earth. Srimad Bhagavatam explains there was a king named Sagara. He had two wives, Sumati and Keshini. Sumati had 60,000 sons. It was like that in Satyayuga. No problem. Sumati, 60,000 sons. And father was going to perform an Ashwamedha Yajna. And the horse was stolen. Stolen. I believe Indra stole it. So Sagar Maharaj asked his sons, the sons of Sumati, to look for the horse. And they looked everywhere. They were just searching throughout the planets. And they were really aggressive. They couldn't find it anywhere on the surface of the earth. So they just started digging underneath the earth to see if he was hidden somewhere underneath. And they were just digging and digging and plundering. And they were exploiting the ecology like anything. And finally, they came to a place where Kapila Muni was sitting in meditation. And the horse was just peacefully grazing on the grasses right next to Kapila Muni. And they were thinking that Kapila Muni stole him. So they started shouting, nasty, because they were Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas, when they want to insult someone, they're very expert. So they were just, this thief, he has stolen our horse. He deserves to be punished. He deserves to die. And all the 60,000 sons picked up weapons. Kill him, chop him, pierce him. They started running at him. Kapila Muni just very peacefully opened his eyes, looked at them. He wasn't upset. He was transcendental. But material nature was very disturbed. So because of their offense to such a great personality, material nature reacted. And the fire element within their bodies became extremely hot. And within a moment, all their bodies burned to ashes. Hare Krishna. So Maharaj Sagar, now he doesn't have his horse, and he lost 60,000 sons. What to do? Nobody came back. But Keshini, his other wife, had a son named Asamanjasa. But Asamanjasa, he was a very unusual personality. He was playful. But his play was very controversial. Do you know the story? He was a man, but he would see little kids, little children, and he would play with the children, and he would just whirl them around and throw them in the Ganges, and they'd drown to death. That was his regular thing. He would just not the Ganges. Ganges wasn't here. I'm sorry. But some other river. He would just whirl them around and play with them and push them and throw them in rivers, and they would die. So all the parents are coming to the king, Sagar, saying, "This Asamanjasa, your prince, he's killing our children." So Sagar banished him. He banished him. Because he couldn't control him. But then Asamanjasa, he said, "Actually, no problem." And by his mystic power, he brought all the children back to life. And they all went back home. And all... for them, it was all play. So he was again accepted by his father. His son, Amsuman, the grandson of Sagar Maharaj, He searched and searched and searched everywhere for his uncles and the horse. And ultimately it was revealed to him. It was revealed to him that they were all burned to ashes due to their offense. And the only possible way of them being liberated from their sin is if the river Ganges sprinkles upon the ashes of their bodies. So Amsuman learned that the Ganges does not flow on the earth. So he spent the rest of his entire life performing tapasya to bring Ganga Devi down. She didn't come. His son was Dilip, who served his father nicely. And then he spent the major portion of his life performing tapasya to please Mother Ganges, but nothing happened. Dilip had a son named Bhagirath, who was a very, very great devotee. And after doing the role of king for some time, he went high into the Himalayas and sat on a rock for 60,000 years performing tapasya. With such love and such devotion, yet Ganga Devi appeared to him. "What is your wish?" He said, "Please come to the earth to deliver all the fallen souls, and particularly my great uncles. They have committed a great sin." Ganga Devi said, "I am willing to do so, but you have to resolve two problems. Problem number one, that my force is so great. When I flow in the heavenly planets are very, very big, powerful planets. They could sustain the power of my waves. But the earth is such a tiny planet. If I crash down on the earth, I may just dislodge it from its orbit. That will create a great disaster." And the second problem is the people of earth. There are people who are so sinful. And it is my nature that whoever bathes in me, I take their sins and liberate them. So I will become very polluted. Bhagirath was a very wise man. He said that as far as the sins are concerned, if even one pure devotee of Krishna bathes in you, he will neutralize all the sins that all the sinful people of the whole world put in you. That is the power of a pure devotee of Krishna. She said, "Yes, that is correct. And the only person who can monitor my waves is Lord Shiva. So if you get him to control my current, then it is possible." So then Bhagirath sat on his rock and began to perform tapasya to Lord Shiva. He was a very compassionate person, very determined. And Shankar Bhagavan appeared to him. He said, "Yes, I will perform this service." But Srila Prabhupada explains that because the water of the Ganges it is the ecstatic love of Krishna personified. And when it comes into this universe, it washes the lotus feet of Vamanadev. Therefore, it is pure Charanamrit. And because Lord Shiva is Mahadev, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, he wanted very much that Ganga come on top of his head. There was nowhere else he would receive the Ganga except on top of his head. Because it's coming from the feet of Vishnu, it could come to the top of his head.
That was his spirit of devotion.
To worship the water that has washed the feet of the Lord. So that Ganga water came on the top of his head and mixed into his amazing transcendental locks of matted hair. And then he moderated it, how it would come out. And Ganga Devi came out, and where today we find Gangotri, Gomukh, Ganga touched the earth. And Gangamai said to Bhagirath, now I will follow you. You take me where you like me. So he was driving his chariot, and Ganga Devi was roaring behind. This is in the Satya Yuga. Ganga was very big and very wide. She was just roaring, but a very sweet song. And they came by the ashram of Janu Muni. And Janu Muni is in the tapasya, meditating. That was the Yuga Dharma in Satya Yuga, silent meditation. And all of a sudden, there was a very sweet singing, but it was a roaring volume as Ganga was coming by. So he just opened his eyes and he saw this massive river flowing, and he opened his mouth and swallowed the entire Ganga. So, Bhagirath Maharaj doesn't hear anything behind him, and he turns around, there's nothing there. Except a sage just sitting there like meditation. And he understood what happened. So he prayed to the sage. He prayed to Janu Muni, you know, please release the Ganga. Please release her. He said, I have already drank her. How could... So because Bhagirath offered beautiful prayers of devotion to Janu Muni, he released Ganga. She came out of his ear. Yes? And because she came from the body of Janu Muni, then she was known as the daughter of Janu Muni. And she was known as Janavi. And she followed all the way to the place which is now Ganga Sagar. And there, this 60,000 piles of ashes were there. And she just flooded over the ashes. And all the great, great uncles of Bhagirath were liberated as Gangamai entered into the sea. Now, according to the Brahma Purana, in Lord Shiva's hairs, there's two forms of Ganga Devi. There's Bhagirathi Ganga Devi, and there's Gotami Ganga Devi. Now we have spoken about Bhagirathi Ganga Devi. Shall I speak something about Gotami Ganga Devi? At Prayagraj, this is again in Satya Yuga, there was to be a big sacrifice. All the demigods and the sages and the rishis assembled together, and great kings and princes from all directions. And Lord Brahma was going to be the priest. So a very holy ceremony before a yajna begins is to break the ground to form the foundation for the Vedi or the yajna kund. So Lord Brahma, he took a puja device like an axe and he just hit the ground very hard. And in the ground, there was an iron chest. Everybody was very much wondering, what is this iron chest that Lord Brahma is excavating from the ground? So Brahma personally opened that iron chest, and in it was a magnificent female, beautiful woman. Beautiful, beautiful woman. And immediately all the demigods and all the kings and all the princes and many of the sages also. They wanted to marry her because she was so beautiful. She was utterly stunning. Even Lord Brahma was momentarily bewildered looking at her. She's very beautiful. So immediately, because so many of these people were Kshatriyas, they all started fighting over this beautiful girl. There was a war going on. It was about to be a war. So Brahma pacified. He said, we will have a contest. Said, we will do Bhu Pradakshina. We'll have a race around the Earth planet. And whoever comes first gets this girl in marriage. So they were all lined up. And I don't know how they did it in those days. But on your mark, get set, go! That's our modern interpretation. They started going. Something like what happens at the Mahalakshmi racetracks. And they started running and running, and they were really running because they were motivated. The passion for attaining this beautiful woman was very much motivating them. They were running. And Gautam Rishi was also there. He was running, but he was very old. And he's a sadhu. And these other were demigods and princes with all their... So Gautam Rishi was huffing and puffing, and he was way, way behind everybody else. And as he was going as fast as he could, he happened to pass on the road a cow that was in the process of giving birth to a calf. So he circumambulated the cow three times. Then he came back the opposite direction. And Lord Brahma is standing there waiting, you know, to see who's going to come first. And he sees Gautam Rishi coming from the way they're supposed to be going. He's coming. So Brahma was feeling great pity because he was... So Lord Brahma was saying, well, you know, I'm sorry, you know, you're very old, you're not meant for these races. But before he could say anything, Gautam Rishi said, I won, I won! Everyone was like, what? You won? You just started coming back. He said, no, I won, I won. He said, I circumambulated a cow that was giving birth to a calf three times, and that is equal to Bhu Pradakshina. And everyone who was present were looking at each other like... What is he saying? But then a celestial voice spoke from the sky, and what he is saying is true. Circumambulating a cow that is giving birth to a calf is equal to circumambulating the whole planet. And he did it three times. So then Lord Brahma took the beautiful girl from the chest, whose name happened to be Ahalya, and performed the marriage ceremony. They were duly married. And after some time, after the marriage ceremony was complete, all the racers started coming back. And when they crossed the line, you know, there was a winner. And Brahma said, you know, somebody else has won. What? What is this nonsense? And all the demigods and the rishis and the kings and the sages and the princes, they all assembled. And when they heard this, the Gautam Rishi, what? We went through all this trouble running around the earth and he just went around a cow. This isn't fair. He cheated us. He cheated us. So Gautam Rishi asked Lord Brahma for protection. Lord Brahma said, Lord Shiva will protect you. He's living at Brahmagiri near Panchavati. You go there and make your residence there. So Gautam, Rishi and Ahalya made their residence on a mountain named Brahmagiri, which is today in the famous place Nasik. At that time it was called Panchavati. So he was living there peacefully. But meanwhile, you know, this Ganga Devi was still in the locks of Shiva's hair. She became so attached to being in Lord Shiva's matted hair, she wouldn't leave. And because of her love for Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva became attached to her and didn't want her to leave. So Parvati approached Ganesh and said, you know, she shouldn't be in his hair anymore. She should go. But neither Shiva or Ganga will agree with this. So they made a plan. They made a very intelligent plan. They created a drought everywhere on earth, except one place, Brahmagiri, the ashram of Gautam Rishi. So people were starving. So all the rishis and sages throughout the world went to Gautam Rishi's ashram. And he was such a powerful sage that he would grow rice. He would grow rice at night, and by the next morning it would be full, completely nice rice. And then he would feed all the sages, and then he would just plant seeds, and within 12 hours practically, it would just grow again, full, ripe harvest. And this went on for some time, and this way he was feeding all the great rishis. But one day, actually I think he grew it in the morning and the next morning. Within 24 hours, it was all grown. And then he would feed and then do next. That was it. So one day, there was a cow. And this cow was a big cow. She ate the entire field of rice. So there was nothing to feed all of the great devotees. He was very much attached to his service of feeding all the great devotees. The next day, he planted all the rice, and he saw the cow was again eating everything. So he picked up a handful of kusha grass. Kusha grass is very soft. And he just wanted to scare the cow away. Didn't want to hurt her, just wanted to scare her. And he just went, huck, 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 and he just took the kusha grass and threw it in the direction of the cow. But one blade of that kusha grass touched the cow, and the cow dropped dead. Gohatya. Great sin. Now Gautam Rishi is killer of cow. So all the devotees, all the sages and rishis, they said, we cannot take any food from your hands anymore because you are the killer of a cow. Whatever is on this property, whatever comes from you is tainted by this horrible sin. So they all left. They would rather starve. They all left. Gautam Rishi didn't know what to do. He was mortified. He killed a cow. He was so repentant. He was feeling so devastated. But then Lord Ganapati, Ganesh, he disguised himself as a Brahmin. And he came down. He said, the only way that you can be purified of the sin of killing a cow is to bathe in the river Ganges. But where is the Ganges? Said, it's in Lord Shiva's hair. If you perform tapasya to Lord Shiva, he is Ashutosh. He is most compassionate, especially to his devotees. So he will fulfill your desire. So how nice. Gautam Rishi performed tapasya on Brahmagiri for 88,000 years to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva appeared to him. And he said, please send Ganga down. Let me bathe in Ganga. So Lord Shiva told Ganga Devi, now you must go. She said, no, I will not go. He said, even I don't want you to go, but he wants you to go. And ultimately, it is my vow to my devotee, I must fulfill his desire. So you must go. But she refused. So coming down to Brahmagiri, Lord Shiva took his mat and locks and slapped them against a rock, and Ganga flowed out. Hare Krishna. And this is a long story. But some parts of the story are like this. That here she was, and now the only way for Gautam Rishi to get purified of his sin of killing cow is to bathe in Ganga. But he considered the Ganga to be so pure, coming from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, from the head of Lord Shiva. How could I bathe in her? How could I put my feet in her? So he was very shy. So as he was hesitating, Ganga Devi disappeared. And then he was looking everywhere. He couldn't find her anywhere. And he did tapasya to Ganga Devi to appear. And finally Ganga Devi appeared in a lake just at the foot of the Brahmagiri, a place called Kushavrata. And Gautam Rishi bathed. And then he took some drops of that Ganga water and sprinkled it on the cow. And the cow came to life. Therefore, because Gautam Rishi revived the life of a cow, the river is known as Godavari, which is none different than River Ganga. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he proclaimed that the river Ganga is so pure because it is coming from the lotus feet of the Lord. That even being touched by a breeze that has come from Ganga Devi, that has been touched by the breeze that has touched the Ganga, will purify us of sins. What to speak of seeing River Ganga, or drinking her waters, or bathing in her waters. What to speak of worshipping her and offering prayers to her. The Narada Purana declares that Srimati Radharani, Lakshmi, Saraswati, Savitri, and Ganga, they are all of the same origin. All manifestations of that same Supreme Personality of Sri Radharani. Ganga Devi rides in a crocodile, a white color crocodile. Because the crocodile represents death in this world. You know the story of Gajendra. He was in the jaws of the crocodile of death. Everyone in this creation, from Lord Brahma down to the insignificant germ, everyone lives within the jaws of death, within the crocodile of death. And for all of us, she's slowly closing her mouth. But Ganga Devi rides on crocodile to show how she has conquered death, she has conquered illusion, she has conquered Maya, and anyone who takes shelter of her, she will liberate from the jaws of the crocodile of birth, old age, disease, and death in this world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, what is the benediction that Mother Ganga gives? The ultimate benediction. She liberates sins, but even greater than that, she blesses one with devotional service to the Lord. And that Srila Prabhupada is so wonderfully explaining in this purport. That these holy rivers are what make India so glorious. Because these holy rivers, especially Ganga and Jamuna, they have the power to awaken devotional service, love of God within our hearts. During the time of Lord Chaitanya, the only places that were considered pious were places where these holy rivers flowed. Other places were considered impious. That is why when the Pandavas traveled, they especially traveled close to these holy rivers. And Srila Prabhupada, he says, even Calcutta, so much pollution is there in the Ganga by the time it gets to Calcutta. He said, one who has faith, even if human stool is floating in the Ganga, you just push it aside and then drink the water. Hare Krishna. That is Prabhupada's standard of implicit faith. Because it is the water from the feet of Lord Vishnu. So in the coming chapter, we are going to read the glories of Mother Ganga. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yasmaret pundarikaksam sabayabhyantara suchi. Human life is meant for purification. And the Lord, who is so merciful, has given so many opportunities for purification. He comes in the form of the Ganga to purify us. He comes in the form of the deity. He comes in the form of the holy Dham. He comes in the form of the Vaishnavas. Comes in the form of the holy scriptures, Harikatha, and in the age of Kali especially comes to purify our hearts in the form of the holy names. And it is our aspiration in life to open our hearts to receive the mercy of the Lord as He appears in this way and become purified. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Jagannath Puri, he spoke to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his brother, Vidyavachaspati. He said that the Supreme Lord has appeared in this world in two forms, in the form of wood and the form of water. In the form of wood, he has appeared as Lord Jagannath, and in the form of water as the river Ganges. And he told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you should remain here in Puri and you should worship the wooden form of the Lord, Jagannath. And he told his brother, and you should remain in Navadvip and worship the Lord in the form of Ganga Mayi. Shri Ganga Mayi ki jai. Shri Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra Mayi ki jai. Go Premanandi. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.